They did a great job. Appreciate them so much. Every Sunday they get up and they do a fantastic job in leading us in worship. We appreciate that so much. And I do believe, as I sent the email out to you last week, a week before last, I do believe that the only hope for America is revival. Revival must come. And I believe that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is just as real as John 3:16. I truly believe that. I believe that if we're going to claim John 3:16, if we're going to claim other verses and stand on those verses for our salvation and for the other issues that we face in life, then I believe that we've got to start taking God at His word for revival for our nation and for our country. Thank you for being here today. We are so thrilled to have Ken and Joy Harmon back with us. They're like lost children that finally came home. But Brother Ken and Joy have been over at Holland Avenue for 17 months as interim pastor. It doesn't seem like you've been gone that long, but we are so thrilled to have you all back with us today. Just a pleasure to see you walk in. And our dear little sister Julie is back in the back there. Y'all pivot your heads around. Look at Julie back there. I saw her. I said, here's sunshine this morning. We're so grateful to see her and Joe and to have them with us today. And those of you that have been out because of sickness, we're glad to have you back as well. And those of you that ate too much for Thanksgiving, we're glad to have you as well, too. I did not obey the Daniel plan, and I'm being honest, so I may as well be honest. Pecan pie was delicious. Pound cake was delicious. Pumpkin pie was delicious. Fudge. Oh, man. You know, I did a little background reading on Thanksgiving last week. And I learned some interesting facts about Thanksgiving. In fact, the few things I learned was the Indians didn't wear loincloths to the first Thanksgiving meal. Neither did the men dress with the round black hats and the wide belts, and neither did the ladies have on the black dresses with the white buffet fronts. There was a turkey at the first Thanksgiving meal. It was mostly herbs and corn and things of that nature that they had grew. And contrary to the present Thanksgiving in America today, they fasted. They prayed, thanking God for His deliverance through the year that they had spent in this country, the time that they had spent in this country. When you think of the great sacrifice that was given you all, that we are privileged to sit here this morning, privileged to be in this wonderful, beautiful sanctuary. Isn't it gorgeous? I walked in here this morning and I wanted to shout, but I didn't want people to think I was something that I wasn't, so... Can I shout anyway? It's just gorgeous. It really is. There are people all over the world today that are worshiping in underground. They're worshiping in places that have none of the magnificence that this beautiful worship center has. They do not have padding on the pews. They do not have carpet on the floors. They don't even have a sound system. They don't even have electricity. They don't have beautiful trees and beautiful garland and wreaths. And they just, they're worshiping. Kingdom seekers. How do we become kingdom seekers? Kingdom seekers causes us to examine our heart. What's going on in your heart? I will forever be indebted to Glenn Livingston, how he's impacted my life. I believe what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 27, and I think it's verse 17, that iron sharpens iron. I think that I can still learn something from even the smallest child, the most mature age-wise and spiritual-wise adult. I always want to be in a state of having a what I call a teachable spirit. I told one of our young men in our church when I first came here that God would use him mightily because he had a teachable spirit. Do you have a teachable spirit this morning? Can God teach you those things about himself that are so vital and so important to our living here? In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter 4, and I think it's verse 17, Jesus said the same message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Our key verse today, of course, is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and I wanted to bring this message, and the Lord kept delaying it, so I believe that this is the time for that message, because there were men who were called wise men. They were actually stargazers. They were studiers, students of the stars, the heavens. Jesus reminded those that were gathered around him one day. He said, "You can discern whether it's going to be cloudy weather, whether it's going to be rainy weather, but you cannot discern the signs of the times and who it is that's standing in your midst." When we think about that this morning, we think about those men that came, those magi that came. They had traveled some distance, and it had taken them some time, and we believe that perhaps Jesus was as much as 2 years of age when the wise men appeared, because they did not come to the manger, they came to a house. What was it that drew them? Was it just the star that they saw? Next Sunday morning, my message is, who is Jesus to you? I want you to think about that this week. Who is Jesus to you? In fact, I've asked all of the staff to write a little brief article that I can share with you for next Sunday. Who is Jesus to them? Leon, Janie, Jared, Naomi, Robin. Who is Jesus to you this morning? Is he someone that you would seek? And why do you seek him? Because you see, in order to be a kingdom builder, you must know the king's blueprint. Am I making sense to you? In other words, I'm saying, hello, are you listening? It is a foolish man that sits down to build a tower, Jesus said, without first counting the cost. You see, there is a cost. I'm not talking about salvation. That's free. I'm not talking about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that is given to you and I the moment that we trust Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I'm talking about who is Jesus to you. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Stand with me when you find verse 19, and we will read together these verses. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. For you that are guests with us today, we thank you so much for being here today. And if you need a copy of God's Word, there's a copy there on the pew. And we would enjoy having you join in with us as we read together. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That tells me, I won't keep you standing long, but I got to say this right here. That tells you immediately that there's something more important than the earth. That tells you immediately that God has a greater plan for your life and my life. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If the eye therefore be healthy, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why are you anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The word Gentiles there is speaking generically of all of those who are outside of the family of God, the body of Christ. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. Father, would you bless your word to our hearts today? May we truly be born into kingdom seekers. May we truly experience that which you created us for. The vision that you have for our lives, may we become, may we fulfill the purpose that we are here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's look at the first slide, Bridget. What is your treasure this morning? What are the things that you value the most this morning? Certainly, family is important. Certainly, our children is important. Certainly, our parents are important. Certainly, our job is important. Certainly, there are things that God has permitted us and given us the knowledge and the ability, the wisdom, His wisdom, that we have acquired, and there are things that are important to us in that realm. I value the relationship that I have with Miss Roma. I value the relationship that I have with my children, and I include Tim and Ashley when I say our children. I feel so blessed in so many ways to have such a wonderful family, and we were just together for Thanksgiving, as many of you were with your families, or will be perhaps even today at some point in some time. But what is it that I am to treasure? What is it that I am to consider of intrinsic value to me? Well, certainly my salvation. Certainly my relationship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, God is love, and God first loved me. And the only way that I know to love is by experiencing His love. And so Jesus would say that by this that all men, not the way that Pastor Johnny would preach, not the way that Leon would lead us in worship, not the way the praise team would respond in music, not the way the choir would bless us with their beautiful orations of music, but
But by this, Jesus said, by our love, they would know that we belong to Him. What is it you treasure? Do you treasure your salvation? Do you treasure your family, your home, your children and your grandchildren and your relationship that you have with them? But most importantly, what do you treasure this morning? If I had to ask you, what was the last thing on earth that you would be willing to part with, what would it be? Well, some might say it was their coon dog. But I'm just picking Derek. Derek loves to coon hunt, and I used to coon hunt as well. Some might say it's their pet cat, Alvin. I was so glad to see Alvin. I couldn't go straight home. I had to come by the Mill Creek Animal Hospital in Lexington and get my Alvin and bring. In case you guests don't know, Alvin's my big orange, yellow kitty cat, and I just love him to pieces. I treasure Alvin. But if you were down to the point in your life where you had to choose one thing, what would it be? What would it be this morning? What is the most valuable thing in the world to you? Well, it should be your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be the value that you put on spiritual things. It should be the value that you put on eternal things, things that matter, things that will bring about in your life the transformation that God intended and desired that you and I experience. Because listen carefully, everything else but that will fade. As beautiful as she is, and I love that suit that she has on today. Now I'm talking about my wife. She and I both are getting wrinkles. Unfortunately, the process of aging is taking place. Every one of us are going through that process of aging. Only those things that are eternal, those things that we decide that are eternally important in life. What is your treasure? Well, I think Paul said his crown of rejoicing was those who through his ministry had been led to the Lord. Also, I think there's a treasure for those who decide to take the responsibility of carrying the cross, bearing the cross. And I want to tell you something this morning. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say, and I don't mean to offend anyone by saying this. A cross was an instrument of death. And the cross in my life and in your life should be an instrument of death. It means that I'm going to die to Johnny Muller. I'm going to lay aside Johnny Muller. And I'm going to live in the life that I've discovered in Jesus Christ, who came by the power of the Holy Spirit to infill me, to indwell me, to empower me, to equip me, and to give me God's wisdom. To give me God's insight, God's direction, God's guidance. In His Word. What is your treasure this morning? Because listen to me, where your treasure is, Jesus said that's where your heart's going to be. I'm not ready to give up any one of our children. I'm not ready to give up Alvin. I'm not ready to give up my wife. I'm not ready to give up my tractors. I like my tractors. And if it isn't red, just leave it in the shed, okay? I've never seen green blood. Hello? The blood that bled from the side of Jesus, from his hands and from his head, was not green. It was red. Now, you understand that this morning. I'm red through and through. I was red, and I'll always be red. I was born red. I'll live red. I'll die red. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, I know y'all thought I was talking about my tracts, didn't you? The blood of Jesus Christ completely covers me. Where your treasure is, where your heart is, that's where they're going to be. You see, where you are focused this morning as we enter this Advent season, and we've just lit the first candle of Advent this morning, and we look at this beautiful worship facility, and we think about the days that are coming, and it's right here on top of us, and we feel rushed and crammed into this season. Stop a minute and ask yourself, what is my treasure in life? Because I promise you, Jesus said where your treasure was, your heart would be. So not only what is my treasure, but where is my treasure? But then thirdly, let's look at the next slide. You see, because what your treasure is and where your treasure is going to determine who your master is. Hello? Can you follow that this morning? See, what your treasure is and where your treasure is going to determine who your master is. So ask yourself that question, that very first question. What is my treasure? Because what your treasure is and where your treasure is will determine who your master is. And it's self-explanatory. I see people, I meet people all the time that are pulled this way and they're pulled this way. They're yanked, 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 yanked. And some of you are sitting in the service this morning, you're feeling yanked. And the reason being is because you haven't decided what was going to be the priority in your life. When Joni and John was born, it was never a question where we go in on Sunday morning. It was not because I was the pastor of First Calvary Baptist Church. That was a decision that Roma and I made when we were first married. When she took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the other 62 books and placed them between she and I when we went on our honeymoon that first wedding night. And we decided that the focus of our home and our family and our marriage was going to be that and that and that and that and nothing else. Naked came I into this world, and naked I shall go. I happen to use Wells Fargo. I don't like it as well as Wachovia, and if you're a Wells Fargo employee, I'm not being disparaging in my remark here this morning, but I have never seen a Wells Fargo stagecoach fall in any hearse to a church. Because what your treasure is and where your treasure is will definitely determine who is your master. So ask yourself as we enter this Advent season this morning, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. His name will be called Jesus because he will save us from our sins. His name will be called the Lamb of God. Is he your master? Because you can't serve one or the other. And folks, until you get that right, you're not going to be happy with the music. You're not going to be happy with the preacher. You're not going to be happy with the Sunday school teacher. And if I preach on tithing, you're not going to be, you think I'm talking about money. You know why? Because it's yours. Show me where a person spends their money, and I'll tell you who their God is. Show me how they spend their money, and I'll tell you who their God is. Who their master is. I didn't tell Janie to do this, but on the back of your pew are the Lottie Moon Christmas offering envelopes. Last year our goal was $4,000. She walked in my office. She said, "What should we make it?" I said, $45,000. She said, $5,000. Then I pick up the bulletin this morning and she says, "Let's double it. We did last year. Let's do it this year. We can do it again." Amen. Ooh, that was weak. God's going to have to help some of you. Let me tell you something. The next breath that you and I are going to breathe sitting right here in this service this morning comes from him. He gave it to you, and he has the power to take it away from you. Who is your master? Give in to your feelings. Give in to your desires. Give in to your wants. Give in to your ambitions. Give in to whatever controls you. Give in to your temper. Give in to your anger. Give in to your jealousy. Give in to your backbiting. Give in to all of those things, and you will learn quickly that the flesh is your God. The flesh is your master. These are challenging, challenging. I don't like to preach from this passage of Scripture. You know why? Maybe that's why it took so long for the Lord to sort it through me. Because I have to deal with this and understand. I have to deal with this and understand that every time my focus is on me, every dispute that I may have with Miss Roma, and I'm thinking about myself, I'm thinking about my heart, and I have to get on my face before God and say, God, forgive me because I'm selfish. It's quiet in here this morning. Who is my master? Who is he? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I ask you to do? When he said, I did always the things that my Father told me, I came to do nothing but what he sent me to do. So as we enter this Advent season, and we look at next Sunday's message, who is Jesus to me? For some of us, he's still a baby in a manger. We've never gotten beyond that little baby in the manger. As wonderful and as glorious and as beautiful as that is, it didn't stop there, church. He came to show us how to live in a relationship with the Father that we might become kingdom seekers and kingdom builders. Why? Because he entrusted it to me and you. He didn't choose the angels to do it. Do you understand how blessed you are this morning? Do you realize how blessed you are that he has given you everything at his disposal so that you might walk in the same relationship with the Father that he did? You see, somehow we let Satan talk to us and tell us we can never have that relationship because he was second person of deity. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was Jesus. And he and the relationship that he and the Father had, yes, their relationship is different in some respects. But as he walked and he lived among men, he came to show us how to walk and to live among men. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Next slide, please. Why must I make a choice? There's two roads there. Have you ever been brought to the fork in the road? Every morning when I wake up, I'm at the fork in the road. Every morning when I wake up, I'm at the fork in the road. And I can choose to take the fork of the world, or I can choose to take the fork of the crucified life. Meaning that I don't matter. The crucified life means that his priority is foremost in my heart. The little acrostic for joy, you know what it is. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. There's a lot of truth to that. However, if you try to use the acrostic and make it happen, it won't happen. And the enemy will see that you don't make it happen. Why must I make a choice? Because eternal consequences rest in the You may, listen to me, you may do okay here, but one day, one day called into question. And Paul said, they'll be tried by fire. All of our works will be tried by fire. And if they've been done for self and for the praise of self and to bring glory and attention to self, they'll be as wood and hay and stubble, and they'll be consumed. Now, you'll still be saved, but they'll be consumed. But if they've been done for the glory. Woo! I don't mean to be presumptuous. I don't mean to be arrogant by what I'm about to say, but Roma and I were in a place recently, and I worshiped just like I worshiped here. A few years ago, I wouldn't have worshiped that way there, Leon. I've decided nobody but me can determine how I'm going to worship. And I've decided that he deserves, if I'm going to clap for Clemson, I'm sorry, South Carolina fans. I really didn't mean to mention it. That just flipped out. We have a split house, by the way. A divided house in that respect. Is he worthy of my praise? Is he worthy of your praise? If you can't get your hand up now, guess what? If you can't praise him now, guess what? You say, well, Pastor Johnny, I just don't feel free to do that. I know. I'm just picking at you a little bit. I'm just kidding you a little bit. I'm trying to get you to think. I'm trying to make you think about your worship this morning. I'm trying to make you think about the choices that you're going to make this afternoon. Some of you are going to make a choice about coming back tonight. I may as well throw that out. And you're going to say, well, I don't need that. And then when you get the glory, he's going to remind you, you had the opportunity to grow and you chose not to. Ooh. I knew you all wondered how I was going to cooperate that into my sermon this morning. You see, what have I told you since I've been here for 5 years? If there's snow up there or if there's just a mountain pushing through, God's not through with you. I looked around one Sunday morning. I don't mean to single out Bill Elliott over there. And I looked around. I saw Bill Elliott up in the choir. I learned from Leon that Bill Elliott used to lead music in churches. I never knew anything about that. But he decided he wanted to be a part of the Dutch Fork Choir. And so he just joined the choir because he wanted to use the talent. He didn't want to put it in a shoebox and put it on a shelf. He wanted to let God use through him what God had given him. And I don't mean to single you out, Bill. There are choices. You're sitting here this morning and you looked at the announcements and you're making choices about being involved in the ministry and the outreach of this church. And you're making a choice about you growing personally in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in your relationship with others. You're making a choice right here this morning. Just some of you have already decided you're not going to be here tonight. I know some of you providentially hinted. You've already told me that. Why must I make a choice? Next slide, quick. Who am I trusting in? Well, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, the love of money. Money's not evil. The love of it is evil. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Who am I trusting in? Now, that doesn't mean go home and resign your job, okay? That would be a little foolish. Because you see, God gave you a great mind to think. God gave you great wisdom to use. And God gave you the ability to achieve great intellect so that you might make wise choices. So you see, what is my treasure? Where is my treasure? Who is my master? Why must I make a choice? Brings me to the end. Because you see, if you miss those others, you miss this one. Isn't it amazing how Jesus put all this in perfect order? You see, if you make the wrong choice at the beginning, guess who you're trusting in? Because you know what's going to happen to it? Thieves are going to break through and steal. In broad daylight, November the 15th, 2007, 11:30 a.m., my tractor in downtown Lexington, chained with locks to a post under the shed and through the trailer and through the rim of the tractor. And they came in 15 minutes with bolt cutters. They took it and was gone. And three blocks from the police department downtown Lexington. No disparaging remark against the police, but for 3 years they called me and Miss Roman wanted to know if we had found my tractor. Finally, the last time I said I didn't know it was my place too. We live in a broken world. Sufficient unto each day is the evil thereof. Evil is with us every day that we live. Broken things are around us all the time. Until one day. No wonder Paul would say, all creation groans and travails waiting for the adoption, that is, the release from the curse of sin. Do you understand this morning this earth is cursed? Do you understand that evil is here and will be here until the Prince of Peace returns and sets it all up? Do you understand that we make a choice whether we're going to try to live according to the course of this world or we're going to live according to the divine plan that God has given to us, his blueprint? Because if I'm trying to live according to the course of the world, then I'm trusting in Johnny and in the best that Johnny can do. In the best that man can do. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not taking away from the knowledge and the wisdom that God has given man to develop. And someone asked me this week a question in that regard, and I said, just as surely as people take treatments for cancer and treatments for other things, yes, we use that. But that does not become our God. Our sufficiency and our sufficiency alone is in God himself. It is not in the abilities of ourselves and other human beings. We trust in God with all our heart. We lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. No wonder Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. O ye of little faith, faith as a grain of mustard seed, so much so that Luke would tell us in chapter 17 that it grows from that little tiny germinated seed into a tree so large that the birds of the air can literally lodge in it and build a nest in it. How hardy is your faith this morning? Who are you trusting in?
Who is your master? Where is your treasure? What is your treasure? Well, that leads us to our last slide, Bridget. What's the promise? Don't you just love it? I just love it. God doesn't leave us hanging. I just love it. I love it. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be saved. Huh? What does it say? You will be? Really? Then why don't we take the rest of the verses that way? Over 7,000 promises in the scripture, y'all, according to someone else, not Johnny, that I read behind, but I believe they're accurate. Over 7,000 promises, and here's one in verse 33. You know what it says? If Johnny will seek first the kingdom of God, if I will make a priority in my life of the things that God determines are priorities that are important, that are valuable, that are the eternal significance. If I will do that, he'll squeeze out to me what I need. He'll just a little bit here and a little bit there, a little bit there. No. And this is not health and wealth philosophy here, or theology. What's he talking about? Everything he's just said. All these things, back up. All these things. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread, the psalmist declared. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. 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 Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus took that prayer, that model prayer, to the level that you and I need to practice it. Do we believe that, church? Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe it? Do we? Are we trusting in our ability, our intellect? Are we trusting in ourselves? Moths are going to eat everything that Johnny can accumulate. Rust is going to corrode everything that Johnny can accumulate. And even thieves are going to break through and steal. But when I lay up an award in heaven, and you lay up a reward in heaven, neither moths, nor rust, nor thieves can ever touch it. Not only that, it'll be gold and silver and precious stone. It'll be tried by the fire and purified and made perfect. And then it will be given back to us as a crown to one day lay at his feet and cry out, "Thou art worthy, 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 O Lord, to receive all glory and all honor and all majesty and all power, for by you and for you and through you was everything made that was made." No wonder when the Magi left the country from afar and traveled that long journey, they brought gifts. They brought gifts. Sadly today, there are people that won't even give him the time of day. And he created time. What is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Who is your master? Think about it. Would you pray with me? Father, we enter this Advent season with a message that is challenging because it causes us to look deep into our hearts. It causes us to reflect upon a year that is past and how much of it we have invested in you in return for what you have invested in us. May we be mindful, Father, that our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Some who were with us at January the 1st of this year are no longer with us. Some of our loved ones, some of our family, they've gone on to their eternal reward. And Father, one day we too, every one of us, we will go to our eternal reward, either through that doorway of death or either in the rapture of the church. But one day every one of our works will be tried, Father. What we have done will be tested. And you will reward us accordingly. We will either suffer loss, or you will reward us, and we will lay those crowns at the feet of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that every person under the sound of my voice will have at least one crown, and that's the crown of salvation, the crown of life, to lay at the feet of Jesus. But there are at least four other crowns in the scripture that are mentioned by name that we can obtain, Father, because we choose to invest in heaven's riches. God, I pray today from the youngest to the oldest in this congregation, when they leave this service, they will leave with a greater determination to make an investment in eternal things. Things that really matter to you and to your kingdom. If there's one here today that has never given their heart to Jesus, may they come and receive that free gift of salvation by repenting of their sins, by trusting Him as their Lord and their Savior, and by following Him and believe His baptism. There are those here today that are searching for a church home and a church family where they can be loved, and where they can love others, and where they can express that love through the gifts that you have blessed them with. God, then speak to their hearts today as well. And Lord, if there are those who just need to come at this altar and spend a little time with you, then speak to their hearts and draw them as well. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.